Good morning to you. It's 8:42 and in studio in the Stressless, and the only person who ever comes in here who actually uses the ottoman like it's meant to be, it's Shane Nelson, Deschutes County Sheriff. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to see you. Great to see you. So there was a big marijuana bust, sir?
Yes. Latest case our marijuana enforcement detectives had last week, they had a pretty significant seizure. And it just goes to show the black market marijuana trade and manufacturer is still alive and well, sadly. But they seized approximately 70 pounds of processed marijuana and 160 marijuana plants. And that's something we just want to make sure that we continue to stay ahead of. We've got two marijuana enforcement detectives for our office that are part of the Deschutes marijuana illegal enforcement team, and they do a lot of work. And frankly, there's more work than there is resources to handle that work. So we're going to do our best to stay ahead of that.
It's, does Oregon pot have some sort of a reputation in the country that, hey, this is really good stuff? Because they're growing it here and they're shipping it out.
Well, it must. And I think there's, of course, a lot of people that are willing to pay a lot of money for illegal drugs. And I think Oregon at one time, you could find Oregon marijuana in many of the countries and definitely most of the states. So it's sought after. And I don't know if that's just because there's a lot of production of it, or if it is as good as if you remember the British Columbia marijuana that was called BC Bud. It was supposed to be this great marijuana product, illegal, of course, but that was probably 25, 30 years ago, but it used to be sought after. So I'm not quite sure, Frank.
Yeah, the growth operations here that are illegal, it's kind of like you wonder if they're thinking that because it's legally allowed and grown here under strict regulation, that they think they can get away with it easier.
Well, I think you have a good point there. First of all, it took Oregon a long time to come up with the checks and balances for the legalization of marijuana. So there was no framework in place. So basically, and not a fault of the enforcement authorities, but basically you had no framework in place. And so there was no regulations or proactive enforcement of the rules for legal marijuana. So there was kind of this, how it's produced, how it's destroyed, if there's an overproduction or unusable market quality of marijuana. There was no check and balance on how that was destroyed.
So it took a long time to get things in place.
Yes, and I don't know that you could even say everything's in place to today.
All right, we're going to move on to a different topic, the Youth Academy coming up this summer, and it looks like Redmond is doing a women's law enforcement academy, a junior women's. So it seems like law enforcement is reaching out to the younger generation.
Yes. Law enforcement's a great profession. For a long time, our profession has always tried to have a strong connection with the young folks, our future bosses in the community. And I think it's a great recruitment tool. So anytime I see a young person, I always say, hey, come work with me when you turn 21. And just try and get them interested in that law enforcement profession. But the Women in Law Enforcement Academy that they're going to have, that is focused on trying to get more females into the law enforcement profession. My wife, a 25-year retired veteran of Bend Police Department, she was a patrol officer there, did a great job, better cop than I am, Frank, if you're going to ask. And she is she had a great profession. And so we just really want to try and encourage more people to join it. And that's one of the reasons we have the Youth Academy. It's a great time for young people ages 12 to 17 to come in and get some hands-on experience and some classroom training. Each of the classes goes from, or they're broken up over the day, but the total academy goes from, I think, 8:30 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. So it's not super intense, and it lasts for 3 days. But they'll learn how to do some crime scene investigations. They'll get some introductions to our corrections division and our jail and some of the calls that patrol deputy sheriffs go on. So we just want to make sure we have that connection with young people and get them excited about the profession now.
Through the years, have you seen a pretty steady flow of young people coming to these youth academies?
Yes, we've always had a lot of kids in those youth academies. And the other thing that we do is a deputy day camp, where that's for younger kids who aren't of age for the youth academy. And they can come, and it's basically a show and tell of the sheriff's office equipment and sheriff's office personnel and some of the things we do. They have a little dress-up station, so young boys and girls can dress up in a sheriff's office uniform and get a picture in front of a patrol car and see what a mock jail cell looks like and see our search and rescue drones and our patrol drones. And it's just a way to interact with young kids and their families and create that positive relationship, because we're very aware that we usually see people at the worst moment of their lives. And so we just want to provide more opportunity where there's a positive connection. And you get 15 to 20 young teens and young adults that come into your youth academy at once a year. It's just that's 15 to 20 more folks that might be applying with your office in the future.
FM News 100.1, 1110 KBND. We're talking with Sheriff Shane Nelson from Deschutes County here. I had a conversation yesterday with a Bend police lieutenant, and we were talking basically about making sure you're aware, right? Make sure you're aware in your of your surroundings. And a lot of people come here thinking we're in a small town, we're in a rural area, and we're safer here. However, he pointed out something, that it doesn't matter about size or population or wherever you're at. He pointed to the internet. If you've got access, if a person in a deranged state of mind has access to the internet, they can go on and find support for or chat groups or how-tos on how to commit crimes. Would you agree with that?
I agree. The lieutenant's absolutely right. There's a lot of folks that use the internet for good. There's a lot of folks that use the internet for bad. And I think when you talk about some of these people that are looking in the chat groups or looking to connect with young kids who are naive and don't understand the complexities of crime and some of the bad things in the world, but they make these connections and then set up these meetings, and whether it's to sell them drugs or take advantage of them physically, it can be dangerous. And the other thing we need to remember too is it's about geographic connections. So we don't know who drives through our community at night, or we don't know who sees a Snapchat or an Instagram or sees an individual's location. You know, a lot of the young people now, they share their location with people about, hey, here's where I am, here's what I'm doing. And I really caution against that. I mean, I understand the social connection piece of that, but really, if you have somebody that wants to do you harm, and then they're seeing where you're located, and they can go to that location, and it just creates an opportunity for them to do something. So I'm not trying to scare everyone. I'm just trying to say the lieutenant's right. We need to be aware of what's going on, and predictable is preventable. So we should be taking some steps so that we just minimize the number of things that could go wrong. I think about also the internet and the dark web and the access to fentanyl and illegal activity and other controlled substances. There's just a lot of things that would make our heads spin as trusted community members who obey the law. And I think that we need to make sure we monitor our children's social media use. We need to have conversations with our kids, be involved in their lives. As much as teenagers would rather probably text or Snapchat and not visit with us, I think it's important to ask the questions. Hey, where are you going tonight? How long are you going to be? Oh, what are you doing? Did you enjoy yourself? It doesn't have to be an interrogation type question-answer period, but we need to know what our kids are doing.
Absolutely true. We've had the one really terrible active shooter incident a couple of years ago. And would you say that there have been more that have been prevented in this period of time?
I would. I always go back and use the example of a couple of incidents that could have been bad, either a mass violence issue a threat of mass violence issue that we had at one of our local schools about, well, it's been 18, 20 years ago. And because of the information from the kids, we were able to prevent that. But that goes back to that trusting relationship and make a connection with young kids, having that information shared. But far more are prevented than occur.
that brings us right back to the academies that are coming up this summer, so might be a good thing to get involved in.
That's right. Applications due at the end of May.
Okay. Sheriff Shane Nelson, thank you so much. Good to see you.
You're welcome. Good to see you, Frank.